Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, and particularly in the United Kingdom, and also to welcome to the show four talented and exciting players of the game who've all played it with such style in the past, and they are Ross Noble, Linda Smith, Tony Hawks, and Clement Freud, and would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep a score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. As usual, I am going to ask our players of the game if they will speak for just a minute, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from one of the most beautiful theatres in the country. It's the Opera House in that beautiful spa town of Buxton in Derbyshire. And we have... And we begin the show this week with Clement Freud, and the subject is loyalty cards. Clement, tell us something about those. Why should you laugh? Because Clement has loyalty cards. Anyway, 60 seconds available, starting now.
If you go to a Japanese tobacconist, be it in Tokyo, Osaka, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, and buy cigarettes, you will find therein a loyalty card. And it has a picture of William, Stephen, or John, George the First, Second, Third, or Fourth, Queen Elizabeth, Anne, Mary. And people collect them with tremendous aplomb because it is wonderful for them to have the entire loyal family of Britain on bits of paper. You can go to a park in any city in the Far East and exchange one...
Ross challenged you.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, no, I just...
You pressed your buzzer.
I just pressed it accidentally there.
Oh, well, oh, you pressed it. It was a sort of Freudian slip because you were so impressed with what he said. So you didn't actually challenge him. Well,
no.
Unfortunately, because Clement was interrupted, it means that he gets a point for that. And so even if it was a slip of the tongue, a slip of the finger, of the thumb...
I did press it with my tongue.
You did?
That's any good.
Anyway, Clement, you have a point, you keep the subject, and you have 19 seconds, loyalty cards, starting now.
I understand that there are grocers and other kinds of shops in this land of ours where loyalty cards are given in order that customers return, come back, purchase more, increase the profits of those firms to an even higher extent than they were prior to the introduction.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion was Clement Freud, who has got the only points at the end of that round. In fact, he had the subject all the way through. Normally, he would have got 2 points anyway, but he was interrupted, so he's got the 2 points. He's got the lead. And Ross Noble, your turn to begin. The subject, the Peak District. Very apt for where we are. Talk about it. 60 seconds, starting now.
If a group of nudists move into an area with no walls or very low hedges, this is referred to as a Peak District. People can't help but wander around and just have a sneaky little look over their particular garden, their dividers.
Linda, you challenged.
Yeah. It's a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Yes, he was really playing it as much as he could. Unfortunately, his visual expressions are not very good on radio. because he was performing then as well as speaking. It was a hesitation. So, Linda, you have a point. You have the subject. There are 45 seconds available, and the subject is the Peak District, starting now.
The Peak District National Park is a great beauty spot and very popular with hikers. I think it's very enterprising of the good people in the...
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I may have imagined it, but was there a very popular and...
Yes, there was.
The two varies in there.
There were, indeed there were. So, Tony, you have a correct challenge. You have 35 seconds. You have the Peak District starting now.
Only a fool would come to a theatre like this and, given the subject Peak District, then say that Yulegrave was their favourite town in that area. It is, of course... this wonderful place of Buxton, which I cherish to my heart so dearly. I'm not just saying that because I am here in front of...
Ross Noble challenged.
Yes, he is.
No, no, no. Ross, I would agree that is a correct challenge because of deviation, because... You were definitely only saying that because you were here winning.
I'm in a no-win situation here.
That's not...
Listen, Ross, within the subtle interpretation of the rules means that I consider you have a correct challenge. You have 14 seconds on the Peak District starting now.
I have to say, I do agree with Tony Hawks that this is one of the best places on the face of the earth. And who would I...
Linda challenged.
Well, I'm afraid Hoist by his own petard.
That's right. So if you're going to get him on that challenge, then Linda's going to get you on the same challenge.
No, I said that he was only saying it because he was here. I didn't say I disagreed with him.
I think you won the argument, Ross. Keep the subject. 8 seconds, another point to you. The Peak District starting now.
I came to the Peak District with the Scouts. They didn't like it because I wasn't a member of that particular group. And I was also... It was only last week.
So Ross Noble got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now one ahead of Clement Freud, and the other two have got one apiece. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject... Contemplating my navel. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
I have for some time now been contemplating my navel, and I have come to the conclusion that it is an excellent navel. So good, in fact, that I'm going to enter it for the Navel of the Year show, which I understand comes from the Buxton Opera House just after the Gilbert and Sullivan Festival has drawn to a happy conclusion. The French and Spanish are well known also for contemplating their navels, which is why Nelson had such a magnificent victory at the Battle of Trafalgar, because he spent more time contemplating his navy, which was a much better way of using his time in that particular period of history. My navel will be on show after this performance.
Oh, Ross, you've challenged.
Repetition of show.
Yes, I was enjoying it so much. Well, listen, Ross, yes, you caught me unawares there. I was enjoying it. Right, when you enjoy the show so much that you would miss the challenge. Anyway, Ross, yes, correct challenge. 12 seconds available. Contemplating my navel starting now.
Some people enjoy contemplating art in art galleries. I've done it. I've spotted it myself. You don't even need to buzz. You can have it. Take it off me. I'm a fool of myself.
Tony got in first. Art. 9 seconds. Contemplating my navel. Tony, starting now.
Some people enjoy contemplating art in galleries or other places like...
Linda challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, because he's talking about contemplating art, not contemplating his navel.
Yes.
Well, I haven't heard enough about him contemplating his navel.
Well, let's hear about you on the navel then, Linda. Oh. 4 seconds available. Contemplating my navel, starting now.
Contemplating my navel is something that the Buddha was renowned for doing.
Well, they're all pretty equal at the end of that round. Linda got the point for speaking as a whistle when she's equal to Tony Hawks. Only one point behind Ross Noble, and he's 1 point behind Clement Freud. And it's his turn to begin again. And it is Bakewell tarts. Oh, they're so delicious. I love a good Bakewell tart, I can tell you. And some of the best ones are in Derbyshire. Now, Clement, that is the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Bakewell is mostly known for the All Saints Church and the beautiful almshouses. But Bakewell tarts are pretty renowned throughout the world. Loose women they are, lacking the odd skirt here, a blouse there. Hardly any of them wear bras. And if you look carefully, I heard...
Linda challenge, yes.
Well, hesitation. And also, you should have pointed out, despite all that, they have hearts of gold.
Well, you tell us about it in the game, because I give you a point for a correct challenge. In 34 seconds, Bakewell tarts, Linda, starting now.
Bakewell tarts wouldn't get much of a look in Bakewell itself, where the preferred confectionery is Bakewell pudding, which is quite different and made to a different...
It's only challenge, yes.
Repetition of different.
Yes, that's indeed right. So, showing off your local knowledge there, Linda. And Bakewell Tarts is to you, Tony. 20 seconds starting now.
I apologise if I don't make the full 20 seconds here, but given what Clement said, I'm going to get a taxi to Bakewell now and enjoy myself. And it would be a lot of fun to be there to see if what he said was absolutely accurate. So I'm off. Cheers.
I should explain to our listeners that that extra loud round of applause was because Tony Hawks did get up and actually leave, pretending that he was off to Bakewell right now, and they thought the idea was so delicious, but he has, fortunately, come back again. A very quick visit. He must have been deeply disappointed very rapidly. But while he was gone, Clement, you challenged.
Well, he stopped.
He stopped. Right, hesitation. I agree with you. Hesitation. You got in first. 7 seconds. Back with you, Clement, on Bakewell Tarts, starting now. Ross, challenge.
Sorry, no, it wasn't a challenge. I just wanted to join Tony. That's all.
Well, Tony's come back, so either he was disappointed or it was not all that it was cracked up to be. So, we'll ignore that. And Clement, you have 6 seconds on Bakewell Tarts, starting now.
The Bakewell Tart said to me, "It has been a business doing pleasure with you."
Clement Freud speaking again as the whistle went again. That extra point has increased his lead at the end of their round. The other three are equal in second place. And Ross Noble, your turn to begin. The subject is the ideal travelling companion. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
My ideal travelling companion would have to be somebody that was able to read a map, because I have a shocking ability to navigate around city centres. I recently gave a friend of mine the map to read, and I've said map twice, and nobody even bought me. I thought I was free.
If you go on with panache, sometimes they ignore it, but you drew attention to it. Linda came in first, and Linda, you've got 49 seconds. The ideal travelling companion starting now.
The ideal travelling companion, I think, on a train would be a police officer or prison guard to whom you are handcuffed, because in that instant, you could be pretty sure that nobody else was going to sit on the seat opposite you, which really annoys me. As a tall person, I need the legroom to have that extra space for the good of my health and general well-being of my limbs.
Clement Freud challenge.
Three mice.
Mice, yes. You're going so well with it. Thinking of different words for those parts of your anatomy, but the mice came in and 15 seconds is still available, and it's your turn. You have the point, Clement. And the subject, the ideal travelling companion, starting now.
My ideal travelling companion would be a Bakewell tart. What is so glorious about these confections is the almonds and the jam and their huge willingness to be sociable with people.
Clement Freud was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead. And Linda, it is your turn to begin. The subject is the shopping channel. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
The shopping channel is a source of many delights, not least of which is the chance of catching a glimpse of Joan Rivers, who has had so much plastic surgery that this woman resembles a Siamese cat walking into a gale. That would be one of the reasons that I tune in to the shopping channel. But other joys would be the ridiculous description.
Ross Noble, you challenge.
Joys.
Joys, yes.
Another
the
joy.
Joys that you said right at the beginning. I was still laughing about your description. walking into the wind backwards. Right. So joys, she did repeat joys, and you spotted that, Ross. And you have 31 seconds. You tell us something about the shopping channel, starting now.
The shopping channel ran into difficulties when they first started because they weren't sure whether or not to put adverts on. People would be confused. One minute they're deciding whether or not to buy something, and then the next they're going, is this one of the things we should look at, or is it not? That's the problem that they ran into. Another great thing about the shopping channel...
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Repetition of ran into.
That's right, yes. Oh, they ran into it more than once, I'm afraid. Tony, another point to you, and the subject, 12 seconds available, the shopping channel, starting now.
My ideal travelling companion is a fridge.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Deviation. Clement, you have 9 seconds. Tell us more about the shopping channel starting now.
In Bangkok, they have a water market. But between Dover and Calais, we have a shopping channel where you can buy duty-free...
So, Clement had another point as a whistle wind, gained an extra point moving forward, but he's still in the lead, of course, and the other three are still equal in second place. And, Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is vitamin pills, or vitamin, according to which Latin you learnt at school, and you have 60 seconds starting now.
I am so thrilled to have been given the subject of vitamin pills because of all the topics I have been handed on this programme. This is possibly the one about which I know the most. I promise I am going to be extraordinarily entertaining.
Ross challenged.
That's deviation. If he promises he will be, then he's already deviated, hasn't he?
That's very subtle. That's very subtle. It's a sort of sly backhander. And Ross, I think give him a point because it's an inventive challenge, but I can't allow it.
Okay.
So Tony, you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject vitamin or vitamin pills starting now.
Vitamin peels are.
Vitamin peels.
Sorry, I've lost the will to live, frankly.
Linda, what is your challenge?
My challenge is that he said vitamin peels.
Which is deviation from the subject on the card. So I'll give it to you, Linda. 40 seconds. Vitamin pills starting now.
Vitamin pills is a trendy lager. It's a pills beer which is packed with vitamins. You drink 23 pints, you're very, very drunk, but also fighting fit.
Clement Freud challenge.
Very, very drunk.
Very, very drunk. Yes. Clement,
don't pity me.
26 seconds, Clement. Vitamin or vitamin pills starting now.
They're called A, B, C, D, E, and I dare say many other letters of the alphabet which I haven't yet come.
Linda challenged.
Well, really, only K after that. That's about the only one.
Well, what's that going to do? What's your challenge, love?
Oh, well, no, I thought he was saying, well, probably many others. Well, I suppose it was only speculation. Oh, I wish I'd never interrupted him.
You're just giving him the benefit of your great education and knowledge, but I'm afraid he was interrupted. So, Clement, you have another point, and you have 17 seconds on vitamin pills, starting now.
Before vitamin pills were invented, people just ate lemons or figs, maybe potatoes, cabbage, cauliflower, sauerkraut, kohlrabi, Brussels sprouts.
Tony, you challenge.
Well, I think we know that people ate food before. So I think he's kind of deviating a little bit, just listing lots of foods that are available.
Containing vitamins, high vitamin content.
Well, we knew they had a high vitamin content, but you didn't actually say so, Clement. So you give me a very difficult decision to make here, because you were conveying that these...
You make it, Nick.
I know. Well, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Tony and say you've got 5 seconds on vitamin pills, Tony, starting now.
Vitamin pills are round, small...
Ross challenge.
Not necessarily. They might be elongated.
You obviously want to hear from everybody on this subject, so I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Ross on this occasion and say, Ross, 3 seconds, vitamin pills, starting now.
I once tried to overdose on vitamin pills and I felt fine.
Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's just in second place still, but he's one ahead of Tony Hawks and Linda Smith in that order. Clement Freud is way out in the lead, and his subject is with you, Clement. It's crocodile tears. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Crocodiles do not eat vitamin pills. I want to make that absolutely clear. They are non-vegetarian, slothful, huge, like 33 feet long animals. And when they consume humans or other kind of flesh, their eyes water hugely and tears appear, which are actually not what you or I might get when we cry, but simply the effect of masticating organisms of fellow animals. I think that's enough.
You held them spellbound, Clement. Right, Linda, you challenge first. 25 seconds, crocodile tears, starting now.
Crocodile tears are the kind of tears that I would shed if somebody said to me, oh, guess what? I was unable to get you tickets for the Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. My tears would not be sincere. I would secretly be thinking, brilliant, I can do something entertaining instead. I can't stand that pair. They really get on my nerves with their...
Ross, challenge.
I just thought I'd interject before the audience just beat Linda up.
For those who didn't hear the recording when we first came to Buxton, I should explain to our listeners that in this lovely theatre here, they do have a Gilbert and Festival. Some of...
Now, that I would pay money for.
Gilbert and Festival. Sullivan, yes, they have a Gilbert and Sullivan Festival. And as we enjoyed your challenge, you get a bonus point for that, Ross. But Linda was not actually deviating from the subject of crocodile tears. So 3 seconds available still on crocodile tears. Linda, starting now.
Crocodile tears are a useful emotional shield.
Right, so Linda was speaking as a whistle when she's moved forward. She's now equal with Tony Hawks in third place. They're only 2 points behind Ross Noble. He's trailing Clement Freud, who's still in the lead. And Ross, it's your turn to begin. The subject, tongue twisters. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Round the rugged rocks the ragged rascal ran. That's just one tongue twister. Another is attempting to French kiss somebody with a wired-up jaw. You really do... have to get your tongue into the most unbelievably twisted, contorted...
Oh, Ross, they love your the images you create in their minds. Clement, you challenge.
Yes, it.
All right. And 44 seconds, Clement. Tongue twister starting now.
Lord Lundy one night tried to mend the electric light himself. He got a shock. It struck him dead. Serve him right. It is the duty of a noble man to give employment to an artisan.
Ross has challenged you in the middle of that.
He was just on about some lord, wasn't he?
Yeah, but it did sound a bit like a tongue twister to me. I mean, very difficult to get out, and he did it right to the end. So, I think
fair play, all right. Challenge.
No, benefit of the doubt to Clement on this occasion. 34 seconds, still with you. Tongue twisters, Clement, starting now.
Whereas you not believe that this is a tongue twister, if you came from Afghanistan or Bangladesh, it would be a terrific tongue twister. Awfully difficult to say almost anything.
Tony, challenge.
We don't.
So what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
Deviation, because we don't come from Bangladesh or Afghanistan. Most of us, anyway, at the moment. So it isn't a tongue twister to us.
It isn't a tongue twister, but he's perfectly at liberty to express this as a thought within the rules of just a minute, because he wasn't actually deviating from the subject of tongue twisters.
And well, I can see which way you're heading with this, and I bow down.
Right. All right, benefit of the doubt to Clement, because it doesn't matter if the Afghanistans and the Bangladeshi people think it is or not, he wasn't deviating from the subject. So, Clement, 22 seconds, tongue twisters starting now.
A Serbo-Croat asked what the time is at, say, 25 minutes past 11, would, say, consider this to be a huge tongue twister, because anything...
Tony challenged.
Well, I think he's labouring the point a little.
Yes. I agree with you, Tony. I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, because we do believe tongue twisters are not just difficult phrases for foreigners to use, but they are alliterations. So, you have the subject, you have 22, no, don't you have 10 seconds, starting now.
Red leather, yellow ditto was one that I was forced to say a lot in the theatre before we went on stage, because it was so important to get them out.
Right. So Tony Hawks then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so. I just realised we're going to move into the final round. Oh. What a lovely audience you are. But before we move into the final round, I'm sure you'd like to know that Ross Noble, Linda Smith and Tony Hawks are almost 1 point separates them, equal in second place. Clement Freud is in the lead, and I don't know whether any of them can take them in one round. It has happened before and could happen again. We'll find out. Linda, your turn to begin. The subject, how I hope my epitaph will read. Think about it for a second and then talk on the subject, starting now.
How I hope my epitaph will read is a redundant question, frankly, because if my plans go well, then when I go, we're all going. So...
Tony, darling.
I didn't know that about you, Linda. Before you got that out, I think you said two goes.
There were two goes, yes, Tony. You have a correct challenge, you have a point. You have 51 seconds. How I hope my epitaph will read starting now.
I hope my epitaph will read from left to right. Because I don't speak Hebrew and I would prefer it that way. Here lies Tony Hawks. He had one too many Bakewell tarts. Is a possibility, of course, but I would imagine maybe going in another way, saving the world. Perhaps there could be a fire this evening. And I could be the heroic figure that leads each one of you out of the theatre over my shoulder, and then the epitaph, maybe something to...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of theatre.
Yes, unfortunately. You can't mention this theatre too often, though. I'm not patronising, I just love it. Right, Clement, a correct challenge. 21 seconds. How I hope my epitaph will read starting now.
I think just my name, the date of my death, and best before.
Well, it deserved the applause, and I think you rested on your laurels with that one. One of the best in just a minute. But Ross did challenge you during that prolonged laughter, which was, of course, hesitation within the rules of just a minute. It does mean also we're going to hear from all four of them on this final round, which is a very personal one, so it's very nice. Ross Noble. The subject is How I Hope My Epitaph Will Read, starting now.
I hope my epitaph will read, Ross Noble tragically died when a nudist ladies' gymnastics team stormed the stage at his gala performance. That really would be a marvellous way to go.
So Ross Noble brought that round to an end and the show to an end. He gets a point for speaking as the whistle went. And just to remind you of the final score, if you want to, Linda Smith and Tony Hawks were equal in third place, just behind Ross Noble. But a few points ahead of them was Clement Freud. So this week, Clement, we say you are our winner. Thank you. So it only remains for me to say thank you to our four delightful and humorous players of the game, Ross Noble, Clement Freud, Linda Smith, and Tony Hawks. I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds was up. We're indebted to our producer and director, Claire Jones, for her contribution to the show, and we're deeply indebted to the creator of this show, who was Ian Messiter. And we're very happy to say thank you to this lovely audience here at the Opera House in Buxton for their warmth and for the way they received the show and cheered us on our way. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel here, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Bye.